Returning there, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you so much that you are sovereign over this morning. Lord, I rejoice that, Lord, you are here to speak a word to us. You're in our midst. Your word we hold in our hands. And Lord, we want to place it into our hearts to know it, to trust it, to obey it. And Lord, we are so moved this morning to recognize that we must praise you, we must rejoice in who you are, and Lord, we look forward to, as we will talk about and see in your word this morning, to the scene around the throne room when we will be gathered with all peoples, all tribes, all nations to worship and praise you forever. Lord, what a holy and awesome and magnificent picture that is for us. Father, we are amazed by your power. And Lord, we want you to show us more because we're not amazed enough, Lord. We're comfortable where we are. We're familiar in a sense. And Lord, we want you to move us beyond our comfort and to challenge us and to consider what you're doing here and what you're doing around the world, Lord, that we might be moved to praise you in all that we do. Father, bless us now as we open your word, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we are in Psalm 117, and as we open this morning, I want to start by telling you how much I don't know. That's right, I want to share with you how much I've discovered how little I know. For example, I really have no idea what it's like to live in a country where I've never tasted clean water or where I might have to work hard just to have that clean water. We were talking with the children in Sunday school this morning about the woman at the well and how she had to go to get her water from the well that wasn't just at home at the convenience of the faucet as we're all accustomed to. I have no idea what it's like to live in that kind of context. I don't know what it's like to live in a context where the average lifespan of any person might be in the 30s. I don't know what it's like to live a life having never heard the truths of the Bible, having never held a Bible in my hand. I simply don't know what that's like. In fact, they say the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know. And I am convinced that there is so much more that I don't even know that I don't know. There is a great context far beyond the context we're in. And as we look into Psalm 117 today, one of the great pictures that's going to be evident to me is that there's something much greater than just me, and that, in fact, as Grace Baptist Church today, the wonderful thing that we're doing here today to praise God together as God's children and family together today, we are but a part of something much greater, far beyond us, that God is doing in the world, and what God is doing is amazing, both here at Grace Baptist Church, in the surrounding areas of Laurel, Prince George's County, and around the world. God has a plan, and he is working to fulfill it, and it's beyond all that we can begin to imagine. But I've learned there is so much that we don't know. First world problems, they say. And I'm convinced that as we do so, what are blessings, many blessings that we have, just like we've looked at in Romans, the Jews had the blessings and they missed the point. And we can see our blessings and bask in the blessings and miss the point. In fact, I believe America's riches are quickly becoming her poverty. America's riches are quickly becoming her poverty because she's absorbed in the riches and there's so much more that we need. I don't know what it's like to have to wait to hear a response from somebody. And when I send a letter out, I can get instant response. These are so many things I don't know. It's a different context than I live in today. And it's a different context in different parts of the world. There are so many different countries to consider, different people groups within those countries, and there's something going on around the world that God is intimately, intricately involved in. He's designed every last person on earth according to His purpose. He knows their troubles, He knows their hearts, and He is interested, and He has offered a Savior to all who will believe on Him. As we turn to Psalm 117, we had a longer scripture reading to lay the foundation of praise this morning from 1 Chronicles 16, but we're going to be looking at Psalm 117 this morning and looking at two verses to consider the praise of the nations, invitation of all peoples, of all nations, to praise God. I'll read from it really quick. Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples, for great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord!" Great invitation to great praise. Verse 1 tells us what to do. Praise the Lord. And verse 2 tells us why. Because He is great. Great in love, great in truth. He is the I Am, the Sovereign Lord Almighty, referenced three times in two verses. So we respond to God's character with praise. Little quick trivia about this. This is the middle chapter of the Bible, and it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. But we're not here for trivia this morning. We're here to dig in and realize that even in the two verses of this chapter, there are rich truths for us to consider and weigh upon and respond to. As we do so, we're going to jump to some other passages to lay some context for us and to think about praise. But first of all, I want to explain praise. First of all, we're familiar with praise. We do it often. Whether we praise God or not is one thing, but we tend to praise what we like, what we enjoy. I'll be glad to tell you how well my kids are doing at home and at school. I'll be glad to tell you how much I love the taste of Mountain Dew. When I'm doing these things, I'm praising. But we are made to praise, but our praise ultimately is about God. I'm not saying it's bad to say good things about other things, but our praise for God is a defining part of who we are. And there's two important ways we're going to mention today for how we express that praise. That's praise expressed in worship, and that's praise expressed in evangelism. Praise expressed in worship and praise expressed in evangelism. Because when I praise God, we can come to church, we can sing together among Christian brothers and sisters about how good God is. We can talk amongst one another afterward in our fellowship and praise God for what He's doing in our lives, who He is, what He's done. But then we can go forth and we can tell the world about how good God is. And that's a praise as well expressed in evangelism, reaching out to tell others, we've got a good God. We serve a good God. We are blessed to know Him. He's a God who's the sovereign, almighty over all. He's the God of truth. He's the God of love. And that's the God we serve. And so praise expressed in worship and praise expressed in evangelism. To proclaim God's truths is to declare God's praise. So as we think about that, Grace Baptist Church, the opportunities we have, missions is a spectacular thing. I love hearing about what's going on the other side of the world. We support missions. We're voting next Sunday to take on some more missionary support, and we get to be a part of what God's doing on the other side of the world. But let us dare not say, therefore, we are involved in missions. That's but a part of what we do. It's but a part. Yes, global missions is super important, so don't hear me say it's only here. But global missions is important. There's a world out there that needs people to go. How will they hear without a preacher? Right? How will they hear unless someone goes? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and we get to be messengers of God's Word to go. But that need not be simply around the world. That is a place for us, even here in our local context. And it's amazing, having moved here and getting to see the beautiful demographic of what's around, right? I came from white Iowa, 93% white. And I love the beauty of the culture here. And there's a mixture, and it's a blessed thing. And we have the opportunity to reach the world at our doorstep. The nations are here. God has brought a multicultural demographic to our area. As we talk about the peoples and the nations, we're not simply talking about political entities like Canada and Mexico and North Korea and South Korea. We're talking about the people groups around the world, and God has brought those people groups here. And so there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity throughout the world for us to reach out, to praise, and to extend the invitation for all nations, all peoples, to praise the Lord. I was looking at a little bit of statistics. Prince George's County has a little over 900,000 people. And wouldn't you know it, I mean, we don't need to trust in the statistics, but for perspective, to take a step back, 469,989, about 470,000 of the people in Prince George's County have no religious affiliation. No ties whatsoever. That's not including all those who would say, I'm loosely involved with this religion, and so therefore I affiliate. There's over 54% of our county who has no religious affiliation. There is a need here. America is its own mission field. So there's, again, there's great need for global missions, and there's great need to do the mission work here. It's amazing because we've even got Korea sending missionaries our way now to reach out to the United States. That's a great thing. We're in need, and we'll receive it. But we ought to do the work that God has called us to do, because that's not somebody else's job. That's your job, and that's my job. And we as Grace Baptist Church want to do that. Praise the Lord, all you nations. And so there's going to be four traits of that praise we're going to talk about today. Four traits of the praise that we want to bear and to sing forth and to proclaim, and we want to look like this kind of praise. We want to have this kind of praise in our life. The first is this: praise that is continuous. Praise that is continuous. As he tells us, praise the Lord, all you nations. It can be tempting to one and done. I've done it. I'm satisfied that that's not a one-time command. That's not a, on Sunday mornings, make sure you make it to church so you can praise. No, first of all, praise that is continuous in location, that we would be constant in praise. In fact, Psalm 34:1 puts this in perspective, and I believe this ought to characterize each of us. Psalm 34:1 says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's Sunday morning when we gather together. That's in the quiet of our homes when we wake up and spend our time with the Lord. That's with our family as we praise God together. That's in the community as we go forth and we are still praising God. That's not a occasional thing where we praise. It is continuous in time and location, that I would be constant in praise. Praise that is continuous in location, and praise that is continuous in my heart, that we would be inwardly moved with praise and not outwardly performing. Inwardly moved with praise and not outwardly performing. Isaiah 29, verse 13 says this: the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Not just going through the motions with our bodies, not just going through the motions with our mouths and our lips to honor God. Our praise would be in our lips and in our hearts, that we would be inwardly moved with praise, not outwardly performing. Jesus quoted that against the Pharisees in Matthew 15:8. Perspective for us. We come here, we sing together. That's not simply our praise. It's in our hearts. It's spilling forth at all times when we're here and when we're with our families and when we're in the community. Praise that is continuous in prayer. When you pray, linger long in praise. Linger long in praise. It can be tempting to pray because we're supposed to, pray because we want something, to bow before God, and maybe we praise, and then we move to the request. Let me challenge you. How long do you spend praising God in your prayer time before you move to your requests? Do you dwell in that praise that's taking a step back, being still and knowing that He is God, seeing who God is, enjoying His character, and resting in that so that the requests would flow from that, not coming and saying, here's what I need, God, thank you, see you. How long do you spend in your praise during your prayer time? Linger long in praise, looking on God's character and on God's work. We see a look in verse 2 at why, who God is, the sovereign Lord, and with his great love toward us and his faithfulness, his truth. We'll be looking at those soon. Praise that is continuous in circumstances, that we would be steadfast in praise, not forgetting God's love and truth. When our circumstances go wrong and things are difficult, how quick we are to abandon praise. When trouble comes, are we still praising? Will we let God's praise continually be in our mouths and on our lips, in our hearts, that we would still praise God here and with our families and to tell others about God's goodness, to use those difficult circumstances to testify and praise God. Praise the Lord, all you nations, with one, praise that is continuous. Two, praise that is contagious. Praise that is contagious. As we think about this invitation, it's not an invitation simply to Israel to praise. It's not an invitation simply to the church to praise. But this psalmist from among Israel is sending the invitation that we would praise the Lord, all the nations and all the peoples. See, we can learn from the Abrahamic covenant that God's plan always included the Gentiles. Perhaps that's what your translation has in Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That's the same word. It's a reference that God had called Israel to be His instrument. And through Israel, all the nations, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12:3. That was God's plan and what He revealed to Abraham when He made the covenant with him. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Israel was God's instrument, God's chosen people, to be an instrument to show the good news, to show His character, to reveal Himself. So for us to know the good news, to know God's character, and to keep that to ourselves, that's the antithesis of praise. When I enjoy something, I want everybody to know it. I want to tell you how good it is. I want it to overflow with excitement so that I can share and tell about it, that praise would be continual. And as Psalm 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. This is a praise that spills forth, and when you see how much I am enjoying the love of the Lord, that you would want to experience that for yourself, to taste and see it, and to praise the Lord with me. Grace Baptist Church, that we would be spilling forth with praise, that the community around us would want to know what is it we've got, to taste and see the Lord's goodness for themselves and to praise the Lord with us. See, as we look into Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all nations, all peoples are called to praise God. But we are called to influence all nations to praise. We get to be a part of that. Just like when we are enjoying a sunset, we have to say to somebody else, beautiful, isn't it? There's an invitation, there's an overflowing of that. If I taste something good, you've got to taste this. I want others to know the goodness of those things. So in my praise, who am I to come on Sunday to sing the worship song and to keep silent all week? Praise that is continuous and praise that is contagious, that I would be spilling forth. Here we see verse 2, for great is his steadfast love toward us. God's covenant love with Israel, they were saying, do you see? Do you see who God is? The character of God is one in which, look at the love that he's fixed on us. This great love, because of the love God has for Israel, on that basis, all the other nations are called to see that and respond with praise and to want that for themselves because it's available. It's not an exclusive love. It's a love characterized of who God is. And we can respond in praise. God's covenant love expressed to and received by his people will draw the interest of others. We enjoy that love together. And that will break down the barriers. It's amazing, too. This is prophetic, in a sense, because God will bring all nations to praise him. Whether I do what I'm supposed to or not, God will bring all nations to praise him. Paul's going to quote this, come Romans 15:11, quote Psalm 117 to show this as he's closing the letter that we've been studying together. He'll say again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. He's showing that this is coming. We'll see that picture fulfilled in Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12. This is following the tribulation. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. God will bring all the nations to praise him. Philippians 2, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's coming a day and God will fulfill that praise comes from among every nation, from among every people group. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Third, with praise that is characteristic. With praise that is characteristic. Again, it's natural for us to praise what we enjoy. To enjoy the beauty of God and the beauty of his creation. And again, I've got to share, I'm convinced that the creativity of God is expressed in the beauty of the different peoples throughout the world, the different cultures throughout the world. It's different than how we would do it. It's different than what we look like. It's different than the context we're used to. And yet, God is far beyond all that we can comprehend. And he does far beyond anything we ask or imagine. That's the God we serve. And we can behold the beauty of the cultures throughout the world, behold his creativity, and admire, not the cultures themselves, they're beautiful, we can enjoy that, but that it would point us to the glory of God the Father. Praise that is characteristic as we enjoy who God is, that it would characterize us, that we would be known by our continual and contagious praise of him. You see, it is integral to our identity in Christ to praise. I will say that again. It is integral to our identity in Christ to praise. To be a Christian, to be in Christ, is to praise him. That is expressed again in our worship and expressed in our evangelism. Worship is integral to the Christian identity, To be a Christian is to worship. Everything that I do, we're coming up to Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. Don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's our reasonable act of worship. Everything we do, our response to God, is our worship of him. It's part of being in Christ. So now my natural response is to worship him with my mouth, with my will, with my mind, with my heart, with my body. Worship is integral to the Christian identity, and evangelism is integral to the Christian identity. See, recruiting others to come to church isn't something we do because we're in need of more. We need some help here. It wasn't an afterthought like, hey, how can we get some more people to join us? From the beginning, Matthew 4:19, Jesus was calling the disciples and he was saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It was a part of their purpose to make disciples, to be disciples who make disciples, to evangelize and make disciples is a part of who we are. If we're not doing that, how much are we fulfilling God's purpose for our lives? We can have a big church. We can sing great worship songs. We can be successful in our jobs and in our families. But if we're not telling others the good news, praising God to others so that they can know how good he is, and making disciples, how much are we fulfilling God's purpose for us? Because evangelism is integral to the Christian identity. You're familiar with Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It is a part of who we are to be salt and light. Let us not lose our saltiness. Let us not put our lights under any basket. Evangelism is integral to the Christian identity. As we consider our praise that is characteristic, it's part of who we are, let us be reminded as well, our praise ought never to grow dead in familiarity. I'm used to it. I know this Jesus. I've read this Bible. Been going to church Sunday after Sunday. I'll keep going, but I'm used to it. I'm a little bored. It's familiar, and we can, in a first world where everything's new and exciting and we get new things all the time, and we, in our context, are easy to take things for granted because we don't know what it's like to live without a Bible. We don't know what it's like to be arrested for coming to church or for speaking the Word of God or for singing God's praises. We don't know what it's like to have little. And we can be bored and familiar with the great blessings that we have. Our praise ought never to grow dead in familiarity. We eat every day, right? We don't get bored with eating. We might get tired of some of the things we have to eat over and over again, so we eat different things. We can express our praise in different ways to different people, but we're not going to stop eating, and we're not going to stop praising. We're not going to grow bored with our praise or grow familiar. We're going to be new in our praise at all times, and it will characterize who we are, and our praise ought never to be rendered trivial as a small part of who we are. It's not a side thing that if we have extra time, then we'll go and praise God to the people around us. But right now I'm busy. Our praise is characteristic of who we are. As we go about our lives, in all that we do, I'm going and praising God in my job, in my time in the store, as I drive in the heavy traffic, wherever it might be, that my focus is turned back to who God is, not on my circumstances. My praise is continuous, which might be annoying to some people at first, but it can be contagious too, when they see that it's a genuine, heartfelt look at who God is, and it drives everything that we do. Praise the Lord, all you nations, finally, with praise that sees Christ. With praise that sees Christ. Because as we continue in Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. We've got, besides the name of the Lord that describes him as being the sovereign, almighty one, that to whom everyone will submit to his lordship, we see two particular characteristics, that of love, that mercy, grace, covenant, love of God, the chesed that describes his character that the Old Testament goes to often to describe the nature of who God is, as well as God's eternal, abiding, unfailing truth. So my translation, the ESV, renders it faithfulness. It's because it's a truth that is everlasting, and God is unchanging in who he is. And therefore, he is faithful to all that he says. His truth and faithfulness are together, and we see in God's love and truth a great God who is worthy of our praise. And that love and truth is something that we are called to reflect, that we would mirror God's love and truth. In fact, Proverbs 3, verse 3 says this, Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Those two same characteristics, God's chesed, covenant love, and God's faithful truth, that we would mirror that with how we respond in our praise and worship of God. Ephesians 4:15, telling us to speak the truth in love, to it's actually a verb form of truth, to truth in love, to be truth in love, to be truthful in love. These go together, and it's a description. Martin Luther would, as he would translate the Old Testament, when he would see that word chesed, he would see it as the grace of God, and always translated that grace. Because where the New Testament charis, grace, is the character of God that's looked upon and gone to repeatedly, that's a reflection of the Old Testament, chesed of God. God's character, which is sometimes translated loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, covenant love, love, that we're looking on God's loving, merciful grace and God's truth. And we're told in John 1:14 that this is who Jesus Christ is. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's all about Christ. All of the Old Testament was leading up to Christ. In Christ, this will be fulfilled, that all nations and all peoples will come to praise, to recognize and confess him as Lord, as Philippians 2 said, and that as he comes back and returns, we will see the nations reached and singing his praise. It's about Christ. And God has given him all authority in heaven and on earth and has therefore commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups. We fulfill that by being faithful to give toward global missions, by being committed to pray for global missions, but by working hard where we're at in the context of every day to be who God made us to be, continuously, contagiously, characteristically praising, seeing Christ in it all, so that the world would know who he is as we declare his praise and his truth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are faithful, that your truth is eternal and abiding, that your love is something we don't even deserve as sinners who've rebelled against you. But Lord, in Christ, in his grace and truth, you've offered salvation because he died on the cross to pay our sins, pay for our sins in full, that we might be reconciled to you, to know you forever, to be able to come to you. Lord, that's not a message that ought to die with us. It's a message that we will sing your praises together as we get ready and train to go forth and sing your praises and proclaim your truth among the world around us. Give us courage, Lord, not to be sauntering and cowering in fear, Lord, to do what we ought to do, to know that our greatest fulfillment is in speaking the truth as we cross paths with people, to tell them how good you are. Lord, we don't have to do it in a forceful way. We can just spill forth with our enjoyment of you. Lord, we need your help. We need your constant reminder that we ought to gaze upon your character, to turn our eyes away from simply our circumstances and see our circumstances through the lens of your character, to bring that hope to our circumstances and not try to find hope in the midst of our circumstances. God, you are good. Great is your steadfast love toward us, and your faithfulness endures forever. And because of that, we will praise you and invite those around us to join us in praise. In Jesus' name, amen.